Chapter 3 Bhajan, Real and Apparent. Devotee, I have heard that some acharyas hold that smaran, internal remembrance, is of prime importance as a devotional service to the Lord, above even kirtan or chanting. Or is it subservient to kirtan? Srila Guru Maharaj, there are some who are of that opinion because smaran is exclusively connected with consciousness or more concerned with the subtle part of our existence. So that should be the most effective form of sadhana or means to the end. But our Guru Maharaj and Srila Jiva Goswami and also Kaviraj Goswami Prabhu laid stress on kirtan, especially for the beginners. Guru Maharaj says in his song, Vaishnav Ke, who is a Vaishnav? Kirtana prabhave smarana haibe shekale bhajana nirjan sambhav. Internal remembrance can occur by the power of kirtan, and only then is solitary service possible. Nirjan bhajan or smaran, exclusive solitary devotion, unconscious of the environment, is not at all possible for beginners. And Srila Jiva Goswami says, Bhakti Sandarbha, Shankya 273, Jajapi Anya Bhakti Kalo Katabhya Tada Ketanakya Bhakti Samjoginaiva. In this Kali Yuga, of the 9 basic forms of devotional practices, the forms other than kirtan certainly should be practiced, but they must be conducted subserviently to kirtan. And this is the principle of Mahaprabhu's preaching. Kirtan has its own special characteristic, particularly in Kali Yuga. Kale dosha nidhe rajan asti eko mahanguna kirtanad eva krishnasya mukto sanga parang brajet. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3.51. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, the age of Kali, the repository of all evils, has but one glorious characteristic. In this age, those who simply chant the holy name of Krishna are liberated and reach the Supreme Lord. Also, Srila Madhvacharya has written in his commentary on Mundaka Upanishad, Dvaparijaya Janair Vishnu Pancharatrais Chakevalam Kalo Tu Nama Matrina Pujite Bhagavan Hari. In Dwarpa Yuga, Lord Vishnu is exclusively worshipped by the people according to the principles of deity worship delineated in the Pancharatra scripture. But in Kali Yuga, the Supreme Lord Hari is worshipped only by the chanting of his holy name. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when the incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is mentioned, 11.5.32, the method by which the people will worship him is also given. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Jajanti Hi Sumedasha. Here, Yagya means sacrifice, dedication, which is Sankirtana Prayer or Sankirtana Pradhan, which means predominated by Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. And this is performed by those endowed with sufficient piety. So in this age of iron, kirtan has its own special privilege granted by the Supreme Lord. Mahaprabhu's speciality is preaching kirtan. He inaugurated and conducted Hari Kirtan. So kirtan has been accepted by our Guru Maharaj, Srila Jiva Goswami and others. To write about the Lord is also within the jurisdiction of kirtan. To preach is assertion, to take the message to others. So also, to be engaged in answering the questions of the environment automatically demands concentration, which is very rare in this age. When one is doing kirtan, he automatically cannot but give all concentration and attention. He cannot speak independently. Intuitively, he must be all attentive. For this reason, kirtan has been recommended to be the highest form of bhajan, especially in the age of Kali. Bhajanera maddi shashta navabidha bhakti krishna prem krishna dite dhare mahashakti thar maddi sarva shashta nama sankirtan niraparadhe nama laili bhaya prema dhan. Chaitanya Charitamrit, Anchalila 4, 70-71. Of all forms of divine service, nine forms are superior, which with great potency bestow upon the devotees love for Krishna and their personal relationship with him. And of the nine, the best is Nama Sankirtan. By offenselessly taking the holy name, the treasure of love for the Lord is attained. Mahaprabhu also accepted five principal limbs from the nine that are mentioned in the Bhagavatam as Shravanam, Kirtanam, etc. Sadhusanga, Nama Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, Maturavas, Sri Mutira, Shradhaya Sevan. Chaitanya Charitamrit, Majjhima 22, 124. Association with the pure devotee, chanting the holy name, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, residing in Mathura Dham, and faithfully worshipping the deity. So of these five, Mahaprabhu has given Nama Sankirtan the highest position. Nama Sankirtan has been considered best of all. It has been delineated by the Acharyas. That was especially given by our Guru Maharaj, and the basis is supported by the Shastra, scriptures. But if other Acharyas have shown preference for Smaran in any instance, that will be in the sense that Kirtan may be in the relativity of the material environment, whereas Smaran is independent of the material consideration. From that point of view, Smaran may be recommended as the highest, but that is not accepted in a general way. It may be a special opinion. In Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has clarified that there are two types of devotees in the stage just prior to attaining the highest plane of Paramahamsa or Uttam Adhikar. The devotees who cross the middle stage, Madhyam Adhikar, and reach towards occupying the highest position are called devotees in the stage of Prema Ruruksu. They are classified in two sections, Goshchanandi and Viviktanandi, or Bhajananandi. The first are always engaged in preaching, and the second take to Smaran or Nirjan Bhajan, a solitary life of worship without mixing with the environment. It does not prove that one is superior to the other. The Viviktanandis generally like secluded life and go on with Smaran. And those who are of the Goshchanandi type go on with kirtan, preaching, and also attain the highest position without coming to the school of exclusive Smaran. Those who have attained the highest plane are known as Premarutha. Guru Maharaj clearly said that when we are in a lower position, Smaran is injurious. Rather, we should take to kirtan. Kirtana prabhave smaranar haibe sekale bhajana nirjan sambhav. The Sahajiya school imitationists are more fond of Smaran than kirtan. They are followers of Smaran. They lead a secluded life, and mentally they go on identifying themselves with a particular shakhi of their own age, her duty, her place of attendance in a particular place of Vrindavan, in a particular leela, under the guidance of a particular shakhi, and so on. They are required to go on meditating on all these things by their so-called guru. That is the process amongst the Sahajiya school, but we do not admit that. We consider it all false and imaginary. They are not fit for the plane. They do not have real sambandha gyan, knowledge of what is what. They only go on with the habitual repetition of a particular mental speculation. But anatta nibbriti, purging of evils, or any other process based on it, cannot be affected thereby. Their imagined achievement is sheer concoction. They are not aware of the facts, the ontological gradation from Viraja to Brahmalok, Vaikuntha and Golok. They are pukur churiwali, pond thieves. To think one can steal a pond is self-deception. We think that kind of smaran to be something like self-deception. For example, Srila Gaur Kishore Babaji Maharaj went on with smaran. Once there was another Babaji who constructed a kutir nearby, a small hut, and he went on imitating Gaur Kishore Babaji, doing madhukari, subsisting on alms, sitting and meditating, and wearing similar cloth. Then once Babaji remarked, "If a lady enters into a maternity ward, she cannot produce a child only by imitating the sounds and symptoms of labor. Many things are necessary before that. So only by imitating the Paramahansa Babaji, bhajan cannot be affected. One must have connection with Shuddha Sattva, the real plane, and then all the higher symptoms may appear. Otherwise, all those speculative antics will manifest. Na utiya brikkopari, tanatani phalladari, tushta phalla karile arjan. Kalyan kalpataru, Upadesh 18. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if one wants fruits without taking the trouble to climb the tree, what sort of fruits can he expect? The fruits will be ruined or rotten. Without proper progression, it is all imagination, a madman's feat. One must gradually reach the plane of truth, Shuddha Sattva. There are so many planes to cross. Bhur Bhuva Shva Mahajana Tapa Satyalok Viraja Brahmalok. Mahaprabhu says that the creeper of bhakti grows and rises up to Golok, and she has to cross all these planes. Upajaya Bade Latta Brahmanda Vedi Joy Viraja Brahmalok Vedi Bharabhyam Bhai Tabi Jai Tadupari Golok Vrindavan Krishna Charan Kalpavrikke Kare Arohan. Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjhalila 19, 153 and 4. The creeper of devotion is born and grows to pierce the wall of the universe. It crosses the Viraja river and the Brahman plain and reaches to the Vaikuntha plain. Then it grows further up to Goloka Vrindavan, finally reaching to embrace the wish-yielding tree of Krishna's lotus feet. But the pseudo-devotees do not care to know what is Paravyom, what is Brahmalok, what is Viraja, what is the Brahmanda. Without caring to know about these things, they approach any guru, receive some mantram, and go on meditating. But in such a stage, if one goes on meditating upon Radha Govinda Leela, instead of entering Radha Govinda Leela, he will rather entangle with the ladies and gents of this world. He will become entangled in the domain of lust, and he will have to go to hell instead of going up to Golok. Charma mang shamai kham prem chidananda dham. The carnal appetite is lust, whereas love is the abode of divine ecstasy. So imitation is not success, it rather degrades. Imitation degrades. imagination is only a mental exercise. Devotee, what if that mental exercise is done with faith? Srila Guru Maharaj, mind is separate. Shraddha is connected with soul, Atma, and mind is matter. Mind is material, a part of material potency. This is also clarified in Gita. Bhumir apo nalovayu kammano buddhirevacha ahankara itijang me minha prakritir ashtadha. 7.4. Mind is a product of the material potency, and the jiva is a product of parashakti, the principal potency, and Swarup Shakti, the Lord's personal potency, is higher than the jiva. The nature of the mind is mental speculation, manodharma. That has nothing to do with truth. That is drawn from the material world, the world of misconception. The mind is full of misconception, avan manaso gochara. Mind cannot reach the stage of feeling or perceiving truth proper. It is only related to mundane things or exploitation. Devotee, but isn't pure mind a product of Shraddha? Srila Guru Maharaj, mind cannot be pure, just as a fossil cannot produce life. Similarly, mind cannot produce Shraddha. Shraddha is original and fundamental. When the Supreme Lord appears in the heart, mind vanishes. Reality is just the opposite. Darkness cannot produce light. Light comes, darkness vanishes. So truth appears when real pure consciousness appears and mental speculation vanishes. The mind is concerned with misconception. It is an element of the aparashakti, the inferior potency. That potency is both subtle and gross. Earth, water, fire, air and ether are gross. Mind, intelligence and ego are subtle, but they're all material. Soul is transcendental, and Swarup Shakti, or the Lord's personal potency, bhajan, or divine service, and Golok Vaikuntha are all supramundane and transcendental, on the other side of the soul, not on the lower side, where the mind is located. Mind emerges from the ego, that is, the false ego, and it is made of the exploiting tendency. But Mahaprabhu says, Moraman Vrindavan, my speculation is on the other side, Vrindavan. That is not an element of this mundane plane. Devotee, so there is a pure mind? Srila Guru Maharaj, properly speaking, the word mind does not deserve to be used in this context at all. Otherwise, everything will be wrongly equated. The residents of Golok also possess senses, etc. But the affairs of the mundane world are never one with that. The mundane mentality is a product of exploitation, sense exploitation. We need relief from this mind. We are surrounded by poisonous thought. In the narration of the Tridandi Sannyasin in Srimad Bhagavatam, all the disciplines are common in that the mind should be checked. Dhanam svadharmo nijamo jamascha shrutan cha karmani cha sadbratani sarve mano nigraha lakshananta parohi jogo manasa samadhi. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.23.45. Charity, constant and conditional prescribed duties, mental and sensual control, hearing the scriptures, holy vows and duties, all these are observed to gain subjugation of the mind. Mental control is known as the supreme yoga. Devotee, you were talking about kirtan. I have read that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that japa, private chanting, is also related to kirtan, congregational chanting or preaching, and also that Srila Rupa Goswami says there are three types of japa, namely manasik or mental, vachik or vocal, and upangshu or whispered. Which is proper for us, and which is the most effective? Srila Guru Maharaj, in upangshu there is no sound, only movement of the lips, and in manasik there is no lip movement. You ask which is superior of the three types? Devotee, yes. Srila Guru Maharaj, whatever is internally real will be superior. Japa must be genuine, not imitative. Our attention should always be towards the negative side. If we can practice that in a real way, our promotion cannot be checked. But without qualification, if we are very eager to go upward, there will be a tendency to fall down. Tas jayate mama rasoshtu satyam. May I have the aspiration for servitude. For bhajan or internal service, such a temperament should always be followed. Tad dasha dasha dashanam tashattang dehi me prabho. Promotion is inevitable if we always try to adhere to the lower duty. Eagerness for promotion is the enemy. That is for pratishta, renown, and that will undermine everything. Srila Prabhupada said that imitation arises from the attraction for pratishta, or desire to hold the superior position and acquire a name for oneself. That is the great enemy. Don't fall prey to that pratishta, eagerness to hold the higher position. Rather, dainyam, humility, is the healthy sign of a devotee. Devotee, Maharaj, we see in the Hari Bhakti Vilas that sometimes the glories of silent chanting are mentioned, and then in other places we see that the glories of chanting very loudly, as in the case of Haridas Thakur, are extolled. So what is the adjustment? Srila Guru Maharaj, only a theoretical understanding won't help you much. Try to catch the spirit of the thing. When backed by the sadhu, the guru of very high type, you can do anything. By the grace of his support, whatever kirtan etc. you may do will be effective. Meditating may have been praised as more efficient in a particular context, but if you venture to superficially try and chant in that way, the opposition will be so great, you will be nowhere. You will turn to be an atheist. It can happen if you don't have sufficient support to fight against the odds. Don't venture to attack the enemy when your position is weak, but when backed by the great generals and many munitions, you must march on. That will help us to engage in real kirtan. The real factor is sadhu sangha. It has association with the higher power. Otherwise, nothing has any value. The stand must be taken on the real plane, sadhu and shastra. We must cultivate the real thing. That is the all-important factor always, to keep up the reality of the bhajan. For the weaker devotee, the sadhak or aspirant, the greatest necessity is sadhu sangha, and the scriptures are necessary for knowledge. Sadhu, Shastra, Kripa. Then kirtan will be best. Brindavandas Thakur says that one feeds himself, another feeds thousands and feeds himself. Who's the greater? Kirtan is to cultivate oneself and help many others to cultivate at the same time. But when you have no capital of your own, if you go to preach, you will meet such opposition, asat sangha, that the ankur, the bud, will be nipped. In that case, if you are Kanishta Adhikari, neophyte, don't go to attack others without vigorous backing. Kirtan means to preach or to attack others in a sense. Don't venture as Kanishta Adhikari. You'll be turned into an atheist. Only after passing through the proper stages, Shravanadasa, Varanadasa, Shadanadasa, and Prapannadasa, the phases of hearing, acceptance, practice, and attainment, then you can preach independently, Apanadasa. Otherwise, only with the help of someone in Prapannadasa can you go to preach. We should have an immovable connection with reality, an absolute conception of reality. Such a stable position is necessary, invulnerable. A sure position, what is what, sambandha gyan. Then we shall be able to understand and harmonize the differences that we find in the writings of the acharyas. What applies where? Under what circumstances a particular line has been advised to be taken up, and under what circumstances another has been advised. Practical knowledge. Humility. Devotee. Maharaj, this morning we were talking about humility. What is the perfection of humility for the Kanishta Adhikari? Srila Guru Maharaj. It may vary for different persons, so one has to think out his own way. Humility means to not encroach on the rights of others. And also, it should not be such as to kill one's own self. It must be natural. At the time of entering the present Bagh Bazar Mat of Sri Gaudiya Mat in Calcutta, there was a festival. From a rented house, the deities were brought on a chariot in procession. There was chanting and dancing, and the deities were installed in the new temple. Mahaprasadam was distributed. At 12 or 1 o'clock that night, we went to bed. My bed was just nearby the bed of one of my godbrothers, a learned professor. He was very humble. In the morning, the professor said to me, speaking very slowly, "Last night I felt so much weakness that I thought I was dying. I thought that I would arouse you, but then again I thought, no, why should I disturb the Vaishnav? He's so tired tonight and having his rest, so let me wait." And after waiting a little, I gained some strength, so I did not have to disturb you. But I'm still very weak now. Very slowly and soberly, he told these things. He was dying, and he did not arouse me, only for fear of disturbing my rest. When I heard these things from his lips that morning, although of course he put it very gently, it struck me like thunder. I at once went to Prabhupada and informed him that such was the case. A gentleman was almost dying last night, but he was too meek to disturb me. Prabhupada and the devotees also knew of our professor godbrother's nature. They took the matter seriously and immediately called for a doctor. Sometimes I think such humility to be dangerous. The disciple's life is a valuable property of his Guru Maharaj's, not merely his own. He's not to be concerned with only his interest, but he should live in the interest of his Guru Dev. I could not appreciate such humility. Everything must be of a real characteristic, connected with reality. I am thirsty. Perhaps I won't request any Vaishnav, please help me with a glass of water. Then my disease may continue, for the sake of penny-wise, pound-foolishness. Common sense should be utilized always. Devotee. Just before Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj left the world, he was in Vrindavan. He was lying on the bed, unable to eat anything. His condition was so bad he could barely take even a glass of water. But I marked that when anyone visited him, he would, even in that condition, always say to the devotees, "Give them prasadam." He himself could not eat anything. Srila Guru Maharaj: yes, he wanted to travel through the whole of Vrindavan and circumambulate Govardhan by bullock cart. But Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj's help was sought, and he came and was somehow able to dissuade him from that plan. Despite his serious condition of health, Swami Maharaj wanted to go to all the places of Leela, like Radha Kund and Govardhan, offer obeisances and return. So the fact is that anything in connection with God, all types of bhajan, all are good. We are not against anything of that type, but we must consider what will be most effective according to our capacity. At the same time, we must not commit any offence by omission. If we say that smaran is superior and that the other types of bhajan like padasevana etc. are of a lower order, how can we be so audacious as to condemn them in such a way? Still, we may distinguish very cautiously, but not merely to satisfy our curiosity. Only when the necessity arises shall we venture to establish the superiority of Lakshmi over Shukadev or Ambarish, and so on. But we must not venture to make light of such matters. These are all serious points. To consider one Vaishnava over another is not a game. The points are very subtle. They are devotees, and we must not venture to place one above the other according to our crude necessity. It is not an academic exercise that as a professor we shall amass some theoretical knowledge to quote to the students. It should not be accepted in that line. We shall always be conscious of the practical side. They are so great, and where am I? Who am I passing judgment over? There should be some limit to our adventurous audacity. Devotee: my friend was relating last night that you once said, "Humility is accepting no position." Srila Guru Maharaj: yes. No position, because a servant has no independent position. His position is always on the command of the master. He's always situated within infinite possibility, but he's humble to his master, not to the gundas, rogues. His humility must be chiefly towards whom? I am humble, the lowest of the low. To whom? Towards my master. I am humble towards the Lord's own, the Vaishnav. I am humble there. When it is necessary for Hanumanji to burn the golden city of Lanka, his humility is not disturbed. He is as humble as anyone can be in carrying out the order of Lord Ramchandra. He is fully given, wholly surrendered. Humility, in other words, is surrendering. Humility means no opposition to the command of the master, who is related to Vaikuntha, the upper section, not to the ordinary street zone, or tiger, or serpent. Humility does not drag them into the relativity of the serpent, tiger, or jackal. Their real relationship is with the Vaishnava. That is the plane where the devotee takes his stand. He's concerned with the Vaishnav, and humble means that he does not resist his master's instruction. Without opposition, he carries out whatever order comes to him. He is humble. He possesses humility, sunichata. He is not sitting on a seat of prejudice. Generally, we think of humility as pertaining to the outside world, but this is not the meaning. To the standard thinking person, the members of the outside world are deluded. They are mad. Humility is not in the standard of madness or catering to the mad people. A madman has no standard of his own. So humility means to have a standard from the standard world. Do you follow? Devotee: yes. Srila Guru Maharaj: Prabhupada has defined humility as that which is absent where there is a spirit of enjoyment. enjoying spirit or exploitation means aggression. There cannot be humility. Humility is only 100% service. There is no humility in exploitation or renunciation either. These two are opposed to the normal nature of the world. They are totally misconceived. They are enemies. They are challenging elements to the normal reality. Do you understand? Devotee, yes. Srila Guru Maharaj, the spirit of exploitation and the spirit of renunciation both are a revolt against the proper smooth working of the truth, so they are totally misconceived. And real humility must be in the relativity of the full aspect of the truth, not with the misconceived world. The standard is not of the misconceived, the madman. Devotee, yes. What about spiritual aggression, like competition? There's a competitive spirit between two persons who are doing the same thing. Then where's the place for humility there? Srila Guru Maharaj, there will be humility if it is really service, because its object is the center. The devotee feels his inspiration and direction from there and cooperates accordingly. He is connected with the absolute center, so competition may be arranged by yoga maya. He is not responsible because his necessity is only for the center. As we discussed, the absolute is designed that way, but not out of necessity. Ahereva kati premna swabhava kutila bhavet. It seems to be crooked, but it is not. It is the very nature of absolute dealings. It is necessary only for the variegatedness of the service of Krishna. It is designed from the upper quarter. The devotees are not responsible for that. Devotee. So we must not infringe on the property of others. There may be competition, but we should not infringe on the property of others. Srila Guru Maharaj, our duty will always be to dedicate ourselves more and more intensely, and we shall do that according to how we may be interfered with by the higher agency. We must always keep ourselves ready for that. 100% we shall obey the handling from the upper house without any hesitation. That is our duty. Whatever will be asked of us, we shall do. On the battlefield, if the general asks a particular battalion to fight in the first battle, and they say, why shouldn't the second battalion be commanded to go? Why should we go first? We shall die, and they will rejoice the victory in the last battle. Why should we go first? What do you say? Devotee, that is not dedication. Srila Guru Maharaj, of course. The military will shoot you then and there. That is our consideration from above. It is not left to you whether battalion 1, 2, 3 or 4 will go. Only the highest brains have command. Complaint against that high command means to die, to be done away with immediately. Devotee, so Maharaj, Arjun followed the instructions of Krishna without question. Whenever Krishna ordered him to shoot, he did so. He faithfully followed whatever instructions he received. In one incident, Yudhisthira did not follow the instructions of Lord Krishna. But when the 5 Pandavas were on the Mahaprasthan, or voluntary journey to court death, Arjun fell prior to Yudhisthira. Why did Arjun have to fall? Srila Guru Maharaj, that is not the criterion of the highest devotion. Yudhisthira's achievement was a separate thing. Devotion proper is not connected there. That is some worldly affair of sattva-gun. Yamaraj, in the form of a dog, went on, but Arjun had to fall. Bhim had to fall. The test was something else, connected with the mundane world. and they went to Svarga, heaven. That is not the highest attainment, but only a show of the outer case of the Pandavas. Really, the Pandavas are Shakas, or friends of Krishna, but their going to Svarga is a separate outward affair. When the Pandavas reached Svarga, they saw that Duryodhan and others had already arrived there. Although the position of Duryodhan and company was much lower, they were the enemy camp. Nonetheless, after death, they all achieved their good and honored position in Svarga. Yudhishthira went with his old body of Sattagun, worldly goodness. A Kshatriya who dies on the battlefield is rewarded with life in heaven. Yudhishthira went there, keeping his mortal body, although the others had to die first, in order to take appropriate forms for that plane. But the plane was only that of Sattva-gun, Svarga, and not the Aprakrit or transcendental planes of Vaikuntha, Dwarka, Mathura or Golok. Similarly, it is also mentioned in the story of the Keshavatar, incarnations from hair, that Lord Vishnu gave a boon that a black and a white hair from his head would go and save the earth from the horrors of the burden of sins he was suffering from. Those hairs are said to have taken the forms of Krishna and Balaram. They took up those two robes, but in that instance they are only Bhubhara Haranakari avatars, or descents appearing to relieve the earth of its burden, and not Svayam Bhagavan, or the Supreme Lord in person. The Lord as he is in Vrindavan is entirely distinct. So also it has been seen in many instances that the outer case is one thing, the inner man is another. The lower personality is absorbed. Just as when the prime minister comes to the city, the state governor's function is absorbed in him, if he wishes. When the king comes to visit the colony, all the officer's powers really vanish in him. Whatever he does must automatically be done by them, their own respective personalities dead. So when the higher descends into the lower case loses its value. Then, when it retires, the lower case remains and the higher case ascends. Nitai Gaur Haribol. We pray to Nityananda Prabhu. We want to come to an adjusted former position. If I have committed any offence, aparad, when dealing with so many subtle things about the great personages, please, Nityananda Prabhu, absolve me of that offence and restore me to my normal, humble position. Sarva Vaishnavera Pai Kori Namaskar Ite Aparadi Kichu Nahuka Amar. Vrindavandas Thakur says, I bow at the feet of the Vaishnavas. May there be no offence in my attempt to serve them. When we deal with so many great things, such as trying to speak about great personalities of the highest order, we should beg Nityananda Prabhu to pardon us for our audacity. He is Patit Pavan, saver of the fallen souls. He is Adosha Darshi. He generally does not take any offence. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Where angels fear to tread, fools rush in. Like fools, we rush into the subtlemost realm of sentiments of the high order, so we must beg to be excused by the high personalities. Upper Siddhanta, or philosophical adulteration, strikes very harshly. It was Swarup Damodar's service to first examine any poems or writings for purity before they were taken to Mahaprabhu. If writings with Upper Siddhanta were offered to Mahaprabhu, he would be disturbed in a very cruel way. Upper Siddhant cruelly attacks the ideal of the high-thinking persons. There is a narration about Kalidas, about a king who required a palanquin carrier. At random, he selected a man from the crowd, not knowing that the man was a learned man, a pundit. When bearing a corner of the palanquin, the man did not carry it steadily, due to his avoiding the ants on the road. The king inquired, Skandam king bhadati? Literally, Does your shoulder hurt? The Pandit replied, Natata badate skandam jita badati badhate. My shoulder doesn't pain me as much as your pain, your grammatical misuse of badati for badhate. So subtle beating is there in the higher sphere, in the higher sentiment. They may be offended. We shall not with curiosity, but with all humility and all respect to them, try to enter into that garden without disturbing any plant or person roaming in that sphere. Otherwise our talks will be pure intellectualism and not Hari Katha.